Our reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 20, speaks about the nature of a prophet, one who truly speaks boldly for God. God, your God, is going to raise up a prophet for you. God will raise him up from among your kinsmen, a prophet like me. Listen obediently to him. This is what you ask God, your God, for at Horeb on the day you were all gathered at the mountain and said, we can't hear any more from God, our God. We can't stand seeing any more fire. We'll die. And God said to me, they're right. They're spoken the truth. I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from their kinsmen. I'll tell him what to say, and he will pass on to them everything I command him. And anyone who won't listen to my words spoken by him, I will personally hold responsible. But any prophet who fakes it, who claims to speak in my name something I haven't commanded him to say, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet must die.
So our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. We're in the fourth Sunday of the season of Epiphany, and Epiphany is about seeing. It's about us seeing who Jesus is, but it's also, in the scripture readings, we follow Jesus as more and more is revealed about his nature to the world. So in this passage, Jesus finds himself in a place like this, a place of worship and of teaching, and he does some very bold things. Let us listen together for God's word. Then they entered Capernaum when the Sabbath arrived. Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. He spent the day there teaching. They were surprised at his teaching, so forthright, so confident, so bold, not quibbling and quoting like the religion scholars. Suddenly, while still in the meeting place, he was interrupted by a man who was deeply disturbed and yelling out, "What business do you have here with us, Jesus, Nazarene? I know what you're up to. You're the Holy One of God, and you've come to destroy us." Jesus shut him up. "Quiet, get out of him." The afflicting spirit threw the man into spasms, protesting loudly, and got out. Everyone there was incredulous, buzzing with curiosity. What's going on here? A new teaching that does what it says. He shuts up, defiling spirits, and sends them packing. News of this traveled fast and was soon all over Galilee. May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. Dear ones, let's pray. Let me, God, in this place, in light of the word, in light of our baptisms, in light of your Son, Jesus Christ, help us today to hear bold and to be bold. Amen. So I'm going to begin the message this morning with an apology to all of us, but especially to our young people. And the apology is this. As a pastor of this church, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I think it's true that I and this church in particular and Christ's church in general has sent the message too often and for too long that when we're in church, we should shush. But I think it's true that most of us, myself included, we like a well-ordered church. We like a well-ordered faith. We like things that are quiet and clean. We like crisp linens and polished silver and polished doctrines. And because I and so many of us are most comfortable when church is well-ordered, well, we send the message to one another, to all of you and you to me, that we should shush. You know, we shouldn't run in church, we shouldn't jump in church, we shouldn't shout in church. So I'm sorry for that. The passage that Joanna read to us from the book of Deuteronomy is about a promise from God, that God promised to raise up prophets, God's mouthpieces, to speak God's word into the world. There's a tricky part here, though. Because whenever God's mouthpieces come to speak God's word into the world, things get messy, right? Most often prophets say things and do things that we don't want to hear and we don't want to do. They tell us that we need to do things like care for one another, that we need to share our resources, that we need to stop oppressing and harming one another, and we need to put God first in our lives and get all those other things that we put first out of the way. And you know it's true, it is for me and probably for you, that when we hear things like that from God's mouthpieces, it drives us nuts, because that means that we have to stop what we're doing and we have to change. So God sends God mouthpieces down to our churches and to our faith lives to run up and down the aisles, to jump off the chancel, to shout loud, and to generally mess up the order that we've put in place. Now, do you know who was one of God's mouthpieces? This isn't a trick. This is like the standard Sunday school answer. So do we know who was God's mouthpiece? Jesus. There we go. Right, Jesus was God's mouthpiece. And we just read from Mark's gospel how Jesus was very much one who came in and ran and jumped and shouted and generally messed up the good order of things. He came into the temple, a place like this of teaching and of worship, and it was the Sabbath, and we're told that he healed on the Sabbath, which was a no-no. And then he spoke boldly as one with authority in a place like this, and people were astonished and amazed, and the word started to spread. But what the story doesn't tell us is something I'm sure happened. That when Jesus was bold in the place of worship, that ruffled a few feathers, and it made some people very uncomfortable. People just like you and me. So there's the problem, right? On one hand, we've got us who like a well-ordered church and a well-ordered faith and crisp linens and polished silver and polished doctrines. And on the other hand, we have this promise from God that God will raise up prophets to mess up the order that we put into place. So as people of faith, what are we supposed to do with that word, that tension between who we are and who God is? Well, I offer this to you for your reflection this week. It's an invitation to you in two parts. The first invitation is this. I think in light of Scripture, in light of our baptisms, in light of who we are and who God is, I think we need to be those people who do the hard work of increasing our tolerance for messy faith. Increasing our tolerance for uncertainty and the movements of the Spirit, to increase our tolerance for a church that might not be well ordered, but which is well in tune with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the first invitation. The second invitation is for us to be those who give one another permission, who invite one another to be Jesus bold in this. Because, you know, God promised to raise up prophets. God does the calling, but it's our job, the church's job, to be those who help one another hear God's call and then give one another permission to be bold here. Because if we can't be bold here, however are we going to be bold out there, a place that's in desperate need of Christ's bold word? So, that's it. An invitation in two parts this morning for your week and for every week, I hope, that we increase our tolerance for a messy faith and that we become more and more those people who invite one another and train one another to be Jesus bold in here and out there. But let's not just talk about it, right? Let's practice this morning being Jesus bold. Are you ready? You nervous? Okay, so I'm going to need some volunteers. Okay, everyone's going to have a part to play, but I need some volunteers to start with. Could be old and young. I'm not separating by age here. I need three or four people who want to jump. Who wants to be a jumper? Jumper. Brooklyn, come on up. Jumpers, come on up. Anybody else? Come on, don't be shy now. All right, so Simon and Brooklyn, you stay right here for just a minute, okay? All right, okay, there we go. All right. So Brianne's going to be over here. Okay.
Yes, now, jumpers.
Okay, you guys are the jumpers. All right. I need some runners. Who wants to run? Come on now.
Jobs are only
there you go. Matt and Emily, here we go. I don't want to call you out. There we go, Marge. Okay, I'll have you over here. Okay.
Come on, it's the first time you can run around.
I know. I mean, come on here. Hayden, you want to run? No? Okay, all right. Anybody else? Okay. There we go. All right. Okay. You want to run or jump? Okay, be a runner. Okay. All right. Now, lastly, I'm going to need some shouters. Who wants to shout? The Williamsons. Apparently, they're...
What are you talking about?
So, shouters, if I could have you up top of the chancel here. Okay. Not to be too well-ordered about it. All right, Bridget, there we go. And excellent. Okay, any other shouters?
We got this.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Now, just because, there we go. Cindy, all right. You have an ulterior, okay, as always. Jump, shout, or run? Okay, shout, there we go. Okay, all right, good. Okay, so if you don't have a part up here, you still have a part out there because all of us have parts this morning, surprise. So your job is in two parts, okay? First is not to cringe when they run and jump and shout, okay? No cringing. But also to observe, to be more comfortable with this activity where we are practicing prophets, we are training God's mouthpieces that right here this morning, Jesus bold is emerging into the world. So let's not just do it here now, but let's all train one another and be more comfortable doing this in here and out there in the coming days and weeks. All right, now for me. Let's start with the shouting, okay? Go ahead, however you want to do it.
We just shout?
Yeah, just shout.
That's good.